I had chosen this topic without any reference to who might be here or who might not be here. It may be something that you find to be very pertinent, and it may be something that you don't find to be very pertinent. I believe Trevor, the other night in his talk, had referenced the fact that when he's at work or in other places, it seems that somebody always brings up something about the doctrine of once saved, always saved. In the back of my Bible, in this particular Bible, I have about 20 things that are particular topics, and I've given them either a number or a letter value. And then I have the heading of a particular matter and a verse. And what I'm going to do is take that number or letter and use it as I go through a chain of verses on the topic that I have written down. So that as I go through my Bible, if I see that letter or that number, I know it references something back here in my chain of thought that I had in mind. Let me just quickly read for you. The very one in a circle is the Bible is our only authority. And so every time, and I start in this particular case with 2 Peter, the first chapter, and a verse there. So then I go from there to another, to another, to another, answering or dealing with that topic. Number two is the church in God's plan. And I start in Ephesians 3, and I'll have a 3 there at Ephesians 3 in a circle, or how about a 2, in a circle, and go on and on and on. What I had chosen to talk about this evening is what is my number 8 in this circle, and it's going to lead then to number 9. And I want to keep us at our reasonable study time of about 30 minutes this evening, and I think we'll be able to cover these two topics. But my number 8 is free choice. When you get to the question of the doctrine of once saved, always saved, one of the important things to ask ourselves is, do we have free choice? If we have free choice, then we begin to see that the doctrine of once saved, always saved is going to have some problems. Because if I have free choice, then be it wise or foolish, I can choose whether or not to serve God. The doctrine of once saved, always saved, I would suggest to you, does not allow for free choice. And we've talked about this sporadically throughout the course of my time with you, and other speakers have as well. And I wouldn't want anybody here visiting to think that we beat this subject to death, but perhaps you've been here when I've mentioned it from time to time, and if you think that, please don't. I try not to. But so I put number 8, and I have the word free choice, and I have the 8 in a circle. And my first passage is back in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 24. So I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 24. That's in your Old Testament. And let me say that I have from time to time done lessons like this where I actually put it on the PowerPoint. But I go back to Joshua chapter 24, and here I am. And now, I have 8 in a circle. And the next time we do bring your Bible, you'll all know you want on these front seats. Whether or not you can see it, I have some verses in yellow. In fact, one verse. Verse 15. And here's what verse 15 in the New King James says in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Now, let me say, pretend this is my grease marker. This is where I would highlight all of verse 15 and in the margin put that 8 in a circle. This is Joshua as he's getting ready to turn over to Israel the promised land, having fulfilled all that God commanded. He says this in verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers that served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so, very clearly, Joshua believed Israel had within them the ability to make the choice of whether they were going to serve Jehovah God, or the God of the Amorites, or the God of the Egyptians. So that then immediately raises a question of whether or not the doctrine of once saved, always saved is going to hold up if we're showing by Scripture that there's free choice. Now, I've chosen the next passage, and I'll just tell you quite frankly that this next passage in the King James, the New King James, and some other translations is rather clear. Some scholars from some manuscripts don't think it's quite that clear. So if one would choose not to include it in their chain, that's fair enough. But I have Leviticus, the first chapter, and verse 3. So I'll continue back in the Old Testament, a little further toward the front, to Leviticus, the very first chapter. The command and ordinances regarding the burnt offerings is being given. And Moses is telling what the Lord has commanded. Now I'm in verse 3. And so here we are in my Bible. Verse 3 is highlighted in yellow. And I'm going to quit holding my Bible up here soon, because you get the point of what I'm saying. You're an above average intelligent group, and so I don't want to keep repeating that point. But in verse 3, it says this: "If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will." Now that's what a number of English translations say, and there are some English translations that don't have that phrase in it, but mine does. I use it, therefore, in presenting this argument. "Of his own free will, at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord." So, the person was to choose whether or not they were going to make the appropriate offering. So on the side here, I have eight in a circle, and now I have 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2. That's going to be 2 Chronicles, and remember, that's after you do 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. So that's the group of verses we're looking for here in the Old Testament. So I'm in 2 Chronicles. Now I'm going to go to the 15th chapter. And I don't mean for this to be sounding real childish, but we're simply working through them together. And quite frankly, I've got a problem with my heel this week, and that's why I'm not walking around a lot. Like I said this morning, I was going to. I could barely walk up there. So if you're in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, I have highlighted there verse 2. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2. It says there, "And he went out and met Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Jerusalem. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek,'" I happen to underline that as well, "'if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.'" That, if Leviticus is iffy from some old manuscripts, okay, but there's no iffiness to that. Here we see clearly that the people are being given a choice, and it's their choice to seek him or not to seek him. And so I have the eight circled. And beside that, I have John, the fifth chapter. We're going to come into the New Testament, the words of Jesus. In John, the fifth chapter, and verse 40. So let's come into John, the fifth chapter, and verse 40. And of course, this is Jesus speaking. If you don't have the red letter edition, and by the way, this particular Bible of mine is not red letter edition. The Bible in the podium there is red letter. I kind of like the red letter edition, but nonetheless, here's what it says in verse 40 of John 5, and I have it highlighted in yellow. But if you are not willing, who makes the choice? He's giving them the choice. If you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. You see, Jesus says it's a choice you make. The doctrine of once saved, always saved, behind that is the premise that God already chose who the saved are. And therefore, they're always going to be saved because God has already chosen before the world began who the saved are and who the lost are. And therefore, this matter of free choice is at the core. Jesus has told us, if you are not willing, the choice is mine. The choice was theirs. Let's stay in John and go to the 7th chapter now. And I put the 7th chapter there beside verse 40. John 7, verse 14. Excuse me, 17. John 7, verse 17. So I've got the 8 beside it in a circle and highlighted in yellow. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Now, there's a number of things going on within that verse that are going on within the text around it. But for our point this evening, the understanding is this. Jesus says, if anyone wills to do His will. In other words, if you choose to do. Not did I put it in your heart and you're going to do it, but if you choose to do. Then I go over to John 8. In John 8 and verse 31. In John 8 and verse 31, it says this, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, If you abide in my word, you are my disciple. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And it goes on to say, indeed. So Jesus has said, it's on you. If you abide in my... That necessarily infers. You know, there are some things that infer something, but not necessarily inferring it. Because the inference may be this, or the inference may be that, or the inference may be another thing. So you can take a number of inferences. But then there are things within the Scriptures and within life that are necessarily inferred. In other words, there's nothing else you can take away from it. The necessary inference here, I believe, is if you abide in my word, is showing that I choose whether to abide. It's my choice. And the last passage that I would use on this particular setting is to go to Matthew. Matthew, the 11th chapter. And listen, Benny could probably give you another line of along this idea. A number of you could. If I wanted to look at it again, I might give you different passages along the line. But if you'll go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, you've heard me use this as the invitation, especially on Sunday mornings from time to time. And it's something that most of us probably have learned by heart. But verses 28, 29, and 30. This is Jesus speaking, and here's what He says. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I would suggest to you from this particular passage, and by the way, this will be our last passage of the night, because where I would take the next chain is along the whole idea of more thinking about once saved, always saved. And we're coming up on the 20-minute mark, and I've got a number of things to say right here, and so we'll just pick it up at another time. But here, Jesus is showing free choice. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." If you didn't have free choice, the invitation to come would be of no value. If it had already been determined that you're lost, and He says, "Come to me," knowing that you're lost, not only would it fly in the face of free choice, but it would make Jesus a very cruel individual. He would not be a savior, but rather He would be a salvation tease. Because He would be saying, "Come to me," but in His mind He knew you were, you weren't, you weren't, you weren't, and you weren't predetermined to be saved. But I've said, "Come to me." That's not what He does, is it? He says, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That invitation is based on the fact that God created man as free moral agents. Mankind as free moral agents. Some of you may want to meet me at the door and say, "Joe, why didn't you start in the Garden of Eden? Why didn't you start..." In fact, Benny will probably sidetrack me on this and say, "Why didn't you just start with the very creation and the command given? Why would..." In fact, I'm going to add this on to my chain, as a matter of fact, because it came to me as I was thinking, what would Benny do? Why would God have told Adam and Eve, "Here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it," if they didn't have a choice? But they had a choice. If they didn't have a choice, then I suspect God would have said, "You know, when you do eat of it, and you know, I know you're gonna, then I'm gonna come down hard on you as a sinner." But He didn't do that. He gave them a choice when He put that tree in the midst of the garden. So from these passages, I think we see a clear chain that takes us, and we are going to make this shorter than normal, but that's all right. He gives a free, this I believe is a simple chain of passages that starts in the Old Testament, could even start in Genesis rather than where I did, in Joshua, but it starts in the Old Testament and brings us through the words of Jesus. We didn't even look at other New Testament epistles where the Apostle Paul and others talk about the idea of us choosing to stay faithful unto death. But what we've done in this particular instance is now we have a Bible subject that will follow through in our Bibles to bring us to a Bible conclusion. This isn't going to be a Joe Shane conclusion, but it's a Bible conclusion of what's laid out before us with regard to what the Word says. Now, somebody could come in and say, "Well, that was all nice, but I've got some other passages, and these passages tell me that I've been predestined, and you've been predestined." Let me say this, because as we go through all of the topics we'll deal with over the years, people always have an opposite to what you're going to hear preached here. Out of my mouth, out of Benny's mouth, Kendall, whomever, there's always going to be somebody else with, "But I've got a different doctrine." And I grant that to be true, because we have free moral agency. But that doesn't make them right. It doesn't make me right. But it's the fact that we have the responsibility to take God's Word and examine it in relation to God's Word. And when you have the passages that clearly, and let me say especially Matthew 11, when you have passages that clearly talk about the choice that I make and the choice that you make in service to God, it is absolutely irrefutable to me that we are free moral agents and we'll choose whether we'll serve God or not, and God will be our judge on the final day. We're going to sing that song of encouragement, and we're going to launch out of Matthew, the 11th chapter again. And that was simply where Jesus said, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We're going to present that invitation because I'll tell you what, being a sinner myself, I can tell you it's burdensome. It's hard on me. If I engage in a sin and carry that sin, until I repent of it, it is oh so weary. And before I became a child of God, being a sinner was really burdensome because I had no one to throw my sins to. I had to keep them with me day and night. But once I accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ there in Matthew 11 and in other passages, once you turn away from darkness and come to the light of Jesus Christ, once you have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, all those sins you have been burdening yourself with, they're gone. And now you can walk as a child of God. And even though sins will come along again, you can go to God in prayer. You can go to God with a repentant heart. And the burden of the sins that you've committed, they're taken away by the blood of Christ. That's the beauty of the totality of what Jesus is saying there in Matthew 11. You don't need to keep, once you become a child of God, you don't need to keep carrying those sins with you again and again and again and again. They're gone. It doesn't matter what the sins were. Now, there may be some consequences that I've got to live with from a sin. There may be consequences you've got to live with as a result of a sin that you've committed. But the guilt of that sin for the child of God is no longer theirs to bear. Jesus nailed it to the cross. Does the blood of Christ work in your life today because you made the choice to die with Him and to be buried with Him in baptism? If you've not yet made that choice and you understand the significance of what I'm talking about tonight, then we're going to sing the song of encouragement that you might indeed confess Him to be the Son of God and let us witness your burial in the waters of baptism here in the baptistry that's prepared. If you're a child of God that you did that once, but you've gone off into darkness, there's only one reason to stay in darkness. Only one. You choose to stay in darkness. That's it. You can't hem and haw around about it. It's because you choose to stay in darkness. Break that bondage that Satan has you in darkness. Come back to the light of Jesus Christ. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.